supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about submission to the will of Allah. Today, Friday, is the 12th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the first of the month of Murdad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we bless this moment by recitation of chapter Al-An'am verses 77 to 79.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Falamma ra'a al-qamara bazighan qala hadha rabbi falamma afala قال لئن لم يهدني ربي لأكونن من القوم الضالين.
And when he saw the moon rising, he said, "This is my Lord." But when it set, he said, "Unless my Lord guides me, I will surely be among the people gone astray."
فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ.
And when he saw the sun rising, he said, "This is my Lord, this is greater." But when it set, he said, "O my people, indeed I am free from what you associate with Allah."
إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ.
Indeed, I have turned my face toward He who created the heavens and the earth, inclining toward truth, and I am not of those who associate others with Allah.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When Prophet Ibrahim saw that people used to worship idols and adored the sun, the moon, and the stars, he decided to aware them of their fault and to open the window of their insight. He tries to show them the way of thinking and reasoning so that they could realize that none of the things they were worshiping has eligibility of being worshipped, since all of them were creatable. These phenomena themselves indicate that Allah the Creator has brought them forth and runs their different circumstances and regularities Himself.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank you with every breath I take.
As the previous episodes of today's special, during this week, we continue the topic of the total submission to the will of Allah. Those who believe in Allah know very well that there are certain things that please Him and there are other things that do not. They know that Allah has ordered humans to practice certain acts and to avoid others. They understand that there are things that are considered lawful, whilst others unlawful. But what makes the importance of knowing what pleases Allah and what doesn't is the fact that what Allah has made obligatory on them is for their benefit, and what He forbids them doing is again for their benefit. This latter certainty, the principle of divine wisdom behind reasons for legislations, forms the basis of their belief in His wisdom and provides a driving force for strictly adhering to Allah's law.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that in this connection, those people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know that worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't restricted to only performing salat. Rather, based on a piece of hadith related from the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, whoever obeys other people at the cost of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this mode of treatment is regarded as a kind of polytheism, because I mean this person has preferred the pleasure and will of a created entity, that is a human being, over the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the important characteristics of submission to Allah, absolute submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is sincerity. Those people who are sincerely religious people want everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the one of the important aspects of the lives of any Muslim, any true Muslim. There's a piece of hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam. It's indicated in this way: there's nothing superior to sincerity in practice. So we find that sincerity is indeed a praiseworthy trait, as it's found in the lives of exemplary people. And sincerity comes from certitude in the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never leaves any good job without any reward when done by a believer.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is today's special on IRIB English Radio. You want to know about finding peace through submission to none but Allah? Follow this part. The submitting Muslim is not like the lawyer who looks at what technical point of law or precedent he can use to serve his purpose. It is the truth of the matter that counts. The submitting Muslim does not search the historical jurist opinions, looking for a ruling that suits his own agenda, adopting any obscure opinion. Allah has warned against this grave error many times. The submitting Muslim has taqwa, that means fear and consciousness of Allah, to help him decide what ruling to adopt. His only concern is what is the most pleasing to Allah. Without this, he has only legal wranglings which miss the very point of Islam, submission. Allah the Almighty says, "Whoever accepts other than submission as his religion, it will not be accepted from him, and in the hereafter he will be with the losers." You can find it in chapter Al-Imran, verse 85.
Rahman Rahim, Mannan Kareem, Salam Aleem, La ilaha illa hum, Ghaffar Jameel, Wahhab Latif, Tawwab Sami'. لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
In hardships, in ease, how to rely on Allah. The five daily prayers are a reminder. Dear friend, Allah gives us the opportunity to converse with Him and to unburden our hearts and minds at least five times a day. Salah contains praise of Allah, affirmation of His greatness, reminders from His book, and an immense opportunity to make dua and strengthen tawakkul. Reflect on the words we recite in every unit of prayer. It is you we worship, and you we ask for help. And even just the meaning of Allahu Akbar, prayer is a means to stay on course, gain reward and forgiveness, and to increase own faith and tawakkul.
Islam means to submit. Aslam to wajhi lillah. I submit everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam is submission when we submit to the laws and the rulings and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In your heart, you should accept all of the laws of God. Do not challenge any one of them, because challenging even one law of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause your faith to be weakened. And that's not true faith. Submission and the meaning of Islam is to humble your heart before the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not allow your heart to become arrogant and challenge the laws of Allah. We human beings, we quickly want to challenge the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Train yourself to become very humble, and that way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that taslim in your heart. We human beings by nature, we always want to dominate others. We have this sense of supremacy. I am better than others. I want others to work for me. You want others to fulfill your desires. That's how we are. And we always want to call the shots, right? It's fun. Every human being, they want to call the shots. They want to make the decisions. They want others to serve them. Do not allow yourself to operate in such a way. Because if yourself is trained to operate in such a way, then gradually you will not accept, and eventually you will not accept the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran.
That was all for today's special. So we'll continue this topic inshallah on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب
شكرا يا رب
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب
Food for thought.
Salam, dear listeners, and let us listen to a beautiful aphorism from the Prophet's 10th infallible heir, Imam Ali An-Naqi Al-Hadi, peace upon him. He who obeys God will not care for the dissatisfaction of the people.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In one of our previous episodes, we spoke about blowing on food. And the advice that I gave my dear listeners, that, you know, what I myself personally do and what my children do, is we fan the food. You know, just so the food kind of gets cold a little bit quicker. But there's actually a tradition regarding this, and that is when, for example, food is really hot or it's just out of the stove, you know, it's piping. Sometimes you see people who food is just there, it's piping hot, and they put it in their mouth and they start fanning their own mouths with their hands, and, you know, they go ha 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 and all that side of sounds that they make. You know, this is something that you shouldn't want to see and know that you want people to do. So in this tradition from Imam Ali alayhi salam, he actually speaks about hot food. And the Imam says that set hot food aside until it cools down. So basically, food comes to you, you're on the table, and it's coming, it's piping hot, just place it. Or what is better is that you set the table, the food is there, you wait for it, and then you all, as a family, go and sit down and eat. These are certain, ethical things that we can teach ourselves and our children, you know, to be patient, to wait. And all these things, it trains us in this regard. To be thankful for the blessings that we have, you know, and so on and so forth. Not to be too wasteful, not to be rash, and so on and so forth. So the Imam says, set hot food aside until it cools down. And then he quotes the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It says, for when the Holy Prophet was given hot food, he said, set it aside until it cools down. For Allah Azza wa Jal would not feed us fire when blessings lie with that which is cool. A beautiful tradition. Now again, is this a metaphor? Is it real? What is the Holy Prophet trying to say? It's another discussion altogether. But one thing we can understand, that the food that is there and it's cool, it is basically, you can enjoy it. It's a blessing. Blessings are meant to be enjoyed. Bounties are meant to be enjoyed, not just gulped down. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, you make yourself look silly by wafting what is in your mouth because you've eaten food, and you kind of, you know, people around you start laughing at you. No, this is not what the Holy Prophet is, and you're not really enjoying your food if it's piping hot. What are you enjoying? You're more trying, and I'm more concerned with not burning your tongue than anything else. So we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to increase our blessings, increase our bounties, and for us to really enjoy it. And then obviously what is more important is to give shukr and to give thanks for the blessings and bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Mahdi, and as-salamu alaykum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 23 and 24 of Surah Ar-Rum, recited by Sheikh Hamdi Zamil, preceded by its English translation. Dear audience, let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And among his signs is the sleep that you take by night and by day, and the seeking of his bounty. Verily, in that are indeed signs for a people who listen. And among his signs is that he shows you the lightning by way of fear and hope, and he sends down water from the sky and therewith revives the earth after its death. Verily, in that are indeed signs for a people who understand.
ومن آياته يريكم البرق خوفا وطمعا وينزل من السماء. ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وينزل من السماء ماء فيحيي به الأرض بعد موتها
الله.
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You just listened to verses 23 and 24 of Surah Ar-Rum, recited by the Egyptian reciter Sheikh Hamdi Zamel. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, in these two verses of Surah Ar-Rum, by Sheikh Hamdi Zamil, we had the riwayah of Warsh an Nafi'a. Waminayatihi. Waminayati. He doesn't say Wamin Ayati. Waminayati. Not just the Nabr, it's the Naqla. And there are some other rules of Warsh, but let's talk about the shared rules between Warsh and Hafs, because there are many.
Good idea.
Okay. For example, we have ikhfa of mim sakina. Ikhfa of mim sakina can only take place whenever there is the letter ba after mim sakina. So we only have one letter for ikhfa of mim sakina, which is ba.
Can this occur within a word?
Yes. Well, no. It can only occur within a phrase, not a word.
Uh-huh.
I just thought about it, no, just within a phrase.
Mm-hmm.
This is for ikhfa of mim sakina. So, what do you do? For ikhfa of mim sakina, you should not close the mouth completely while pronouncing the mim. The mouth is slightly open. And at the same time, we have to make nasal sound for two vowel counts.
Mm-hmm.
To demonstrate, منامكم بالليل منامكم. See the mouth, you could hear that there is some space between the lips.
The sound of m is not completely nasal.
Yes, the sound is oronasal.
Yes.
It's through the nose and the mouth. منامكم بالليل. And the space between the lips has to be as much. Remember we said a thin sheet of paper
to
fitting
fit
in between
the yeah.
lips. But not literally. This is just to get the idea.
والنهاري.
We have a ra with tarqiq.
Because it has
thinness.
A kasra.
Yeah, because of the kasra. والنهاري. Ri. We don't say ray. Ray. Ri. Okay, so make sure you pronounce the ra with tarqiq,
or the empty mouth, practically.
No, thinness. And empty, yeah. Of course, the mouth is going to be empty. Another important rule, we have mad, matul muttasil. Wabitigha'ukum.
Conjunct mad.
This is a conjunct lengthening. In hafs, you have to lengthen it to either four or five vowel counts. But in warsh, You have to lengthen it to six vowels.
That is the case here, actually.
Here. The reciter was reciting in Warsh. So you only have one choice for Warsh, which is six vowel counts. I want to talk about the next verse. We have two more matul muttasils in the next verse. Minas sama'i ma'an. So when does matul muttasil take place? It occurs whenever there's a long vowel followed by a hamza, hamzatul qatar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the same word. So the mad and the hamza, they have to be in the same word.
Yes.
And the hamza has to be after the mad. And as a result, we have matul muttasil, the conjunct lengthening, which has to be lengthened to either four or five vowel counts in hafs. And of course, you have to stick to your choice.
Yes.
If you want to lengthen it to four vowel counts, you should always lengthen it to four vowel counts. But and vice versa, and also for five vowel counts.
But I think in Warsh and Nafa Rawaya, it does not matter whether you know the mat is muttasil or munfasil.
Exactly. Both have to be lengthened to six vowel counts in Warsh. Okay, another rule I want to talk about is we have it a lot in the Quran, which is ishba' of ha'ud damir. We have some ishba's in this in these two verses. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ the ha, even though originally it has a kasra, but it is not pronounced like a kasra. We double the sound of the kasra. We make it a long vowel.
And the reason?
The reason is that, first of all, it's a ha'ud damir.
Uh-huh.
It's a conjunct ha'ud damir that comes at the end
pronoun.
Of a word. Pronoun, yes. The conjunct pronoun that comes at the end of a word.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and it has to be masculine. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which is just a normal ha. There's no alif. If there's an alif, it would be a female pronoun. Okay?
Yes.
So, if the ha'ud damir is preceded by a haraka, by a short vowel.
Short vowel.
Short vowel, not long vowel. Then ishba' takes place. So here we see ayatihi.
That is kasra, actually.
The kasra of the ta, which is before the ha. We have another one, which is min fadlihi in verse 23. Of course, if you stop on the word, no ishba' takes place.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
In our hadith, we have many, many teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam about the Quran. Jabir narrates from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, يَجِيءُ الْقُرْآنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي أَحْسَنِ مَنْذُورٍ إِلَيْهِ. Imam said, on the day of judgment, the Quran will come in the best appearance, in the best, you know, face. مُؤْمَنِين will be said, اقْرَأْ وَرْقَ يَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ اقْرَأْ وَرْقَ فَيَقْرَأُ وَيَرْقَى. Read and rise. Read and rise. So everyone, depending on how much he can read at that time, will rise. But now the question is, how much can you read at that time? It's not something in your hand. It's something which is already decided by your relation in dunya with Quran. Okay? In dunya, if you were a person who was 100% following the Quran, so you can read the whole Quran, all the verses of the Quran, so you would reach the highest position. If you have been implementing following 99%, 98%, 90%, 10%, anyway, depending on how much you have taken on board from the Quran, you would be able to read. Okay? So it's not something that you say, I will be doing my best, you know, to read as much as possible there. Even if you are a hafiz of Quran in dunya, it doesn't mean that there you can read all the Quran. Okay? So this is important.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
This is Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Back to Reality with me, Muhammad Javad, and my two guests. Let me ask them actually to introduce themselves first.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, and I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Thank you very much. And, sister?
I'm Radia Shamili, at your service.
Well, who's the person behind a sword with two edges?
The love of my heart. It belongs to our imam, our first Shiite imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam.
What do you think of a sermon without alif?
It shows how talented he was, what a smart individual Ali alayhi salam was, or how God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had gifted him.
Those who are not Shia, for example, or an not external Muslims, point of view. When they read such a thing, it hits them really hard. Like George Durdiak, the guy who wrote A Voice of Justice, you know, by Imam Ali alayhi salam. He was a Christian, but he wrote like 3 or 4 books about Imam Ali. I remember his story. He said, I used to run away from school, and I take Najd Balagha, and I used to hide behind the wall and read Najd Balagha. He was just a kid.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in his early, you know, he was in primary school or not even high school. He said, I used to run away and read Najd Balagha because it was captivating. So to me, and he was like, what is letters, you know, a sermon without letters? Obviously, to Ali is nothing, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, لو كشف لي الغطاء لما زدت يقين. If you remove the veils, it would not increase my certainty. That's how we look at Ali alayhi salam.
Right. Could you share with us a quote which is unique in your point of view from Imam Ali?
You just asked me for the impossible. it's like you know, like we have a term, says بعد العناء فسر الماء بالماء. Like when they ask him what is water, he pondered for a minute or an hour. It's like, water is water.
Yeah.
It's like, how am I supposed to tell you which is the best speech of Ali alayhi salam when all his speeches are just...
Yes, I know most of them are like captivating, as
but
you
see,
pointed out. But
yeah.
But what is it that caught you like...
The thing that I live by, let's say, the thing that I live by is the short saying of Amir Amin that I personally live by is the one that he says, كُنْ كَالْإِبْنِ اللَّبُونَ لَا ظَهْرٌ فَيُرْكَبْ وَلَا ظَرْءٌ فَيُحْلَبْ. It's basically, it's an antidote to live a life where you're safe. Be like a baby camel that if someone rides the back, will break it and does not have breast and cannot give milk. Like if they're trying to milk a baby camel, obviously does not give. So if you put yourself in a state in life or in your community or in your society where you act like this little camel, either they will break your back or either they will take whatever you have. Don't be in that state. So which means what? Which means constantly be aware of your surrounding. Be who you are. Be what you. Be aware of who you are. Be aware of what you say. Be aware of your surrounding, which gives you that complete package to live a life where you are constantly aware.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something I live by, but you know, everyone could relate to Imam Ali alayhi salam in his own way. But as sermon-wise goes, each field, it would have a specific sermon. For example, if you say, tell me about taqwa, right? I say, okay, obviously the sermon of Muttaqeen kills it,
mm-hmm.
right? If you talk about Imam Ali's pain, Khutbat al-Sheikh Shaqiyya kills it.
Yes.
When you talk about advices, or for example, letters that he delivered to his you know, his governors, the letter of Malik al-Ashra kills it, right? And so on. So each specific, if you specify like categories for me, I will give you which one is the killer of them. You know what I mean? But in general,
yes.
Each one has to, I think, find the soft spot that hits him when it comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen and his sermons and words.
Yes, and a word of also caution is advised, because some of these words are like very deep and complicated, and
not just very deep,
they
and
could
complicated.
Be easily
they carry,
abused
they,
too.
They carry two meanings. Some
exactly.
of them carry three meanings.
Yes, exactly.
So like you look at it, it gives you one meaning. You take a step back, it gives you another meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You dive in and gives you a third. So look at the context of what Imam Ali Islam is trying to say, where he's saying it, to whom he's saying it. He's speaking about a specific woman. So you have to be very careful, like I said, with the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
Yes. Okay, sister, is there any quote from Ali that captivated you, like the most, or it was like aced it?
Yeah, it's his letter to his son, Imam Hassan. You can analyze it from different perspectives,
mm-hmm.
but from the perspective, because the topic of responsible fatherhood has been a topic that has become very famous in the past three, four decades. And fathers and raising a child is something that mostly people know as the responsibility of a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go into the teachings of Islam, you see that the duty of raising, you know, the spiritual well-being of a child lies, you know, is in the hands of the father of the child. Where in the noble verses of the Quran, you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." And after that, when the verse was revealed, people came to the Prophet, and you know, one of them started crying and said, "Oh my God, what am I supposed to do? I had the difficulty of, you know, keeping my own faith, and now
mm-hmm.
the responsibility of, you know, the well-being of my family, my children in the other world, is laid upon my shoulders." So, you know, so from this, you find out that maybe the customs and the culture of the Muslims is not exactly what the teachings of Islam is
mm-hmm.
with regards to the realm of fatherhood. And then when I had this concern in my mind, and I went through Rasalat al-Huquq of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and I read, you know, the rights of a child upon the father, and then all the different hadith that we have from the Prophet and the infallibles about the role of the father. And I found this letter from Imam Ali alayhi salam to his son to be including what responsible fatherhood really entails in the religion of Islam.
Right. Okay, so. Before we go on and continue our discussion, let's take a short break and we'll be back.
كل صبح وكل اشرب ايام تبكى عيني بدمع مشتاق ايام قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا طبيب لها ولا راقي.
It's his letter to his son, Imam Hassan. I'm just going to read like one paragraph of it for
okay.
you guys, share it with you.
I appreciate it.
He says, "Give up discussing what you do not know and speaking about what does not concern you. Keep off track from which you fear to go astray, because refraining from moving when fear of staying is better than embarking on dangers. Ask others to do good. You will thus be among good doers. Desist others from evil with your action as well as your speech, and keep off." You see, these are, if only you would pay attention to two or three sentences of these, and if you act upon these sentences in your life, they would be life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we just pay lip service to the instructions and teachings that we have, and we are very good orators, good lecturers,
mm-hmm.
but we fall behind when it comes to practice.
Sayyid Abdullah, do you remember an interesting story about Imam Ali's life?
I'll tell you the story of Roger Garoudi, if you heard of him, the French philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
He's recent, like in the last, I don't know, 30 years, 30 years. He was teaching in university, and he constantly mentions Ali alayhi salam in his speeches. One of his students, after class, she came to him, she said to him, why do you always talk about a person called Ali? Why do you always refer to him? Why do you always quote him? Who is this Ali? He said to her, I'll tell you who Ali is. He said to her, but first, if you were hit by a car, what would happen to you? She said to him, either I die or I get unconscious. Like, I lose, you know, I go in coma. He says to her, Ali was hit on a sword on his head, and the sword made it to the middle of his brain. Right?
Yes.
Yet, which is the brain, he said to her, the brain represents logic and intellect.
Mm-hmm.
If it's cut, you're a vegetable. Right?
Yes.
He said, this man, on his bed, he wrote the most eloquent letter to his son, which the sister was talking about,
mm-hmm.
Of how to live your life. You know, he spoke about death. He spoke about being nice to your children, being nice to your neighbors, and so on and so forth. And then he says, you see the love of Ali towards his enemy. Because Imam alayhi salam, he said what? He said to his son, Hassan alayhi salam, he said, my enemy, feed him what you eat. Give him what you drink. He said, what kind of person with that sword in the middle of his head would talk like this? He said, by the time he finished saying this words to her, she was in tears.
Wow. Who's this guy, this person from Lebanon who wrote so much about
Imam Ali? We mentioned him before.
Yeah, yeah.
Why
with so much talk so about Imam Ali, and he was so much attracted to Imam Ali.
This French philosopher became a Muslim at the end of his life.
Yeah.
He had a very famous poetry. He said, not everyone who says, I love Ali is Alawi.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, O earth witness, O sama, O heavens witness, that I mentioned Ali. So he had this love for Ali alayhi salam, but Allah alam, maybe he, you know, he was a Shia Anda, but he didn't want to be public.
He didn't want to.
Because
like
no one, in my opinion, no one that reads the life of Ali alayhi salam and gets captivated by it and not follow this man. It's just impossibility, in my opinion. It's absolutely impossible to get to know Ali, especially with George Riyak. He got to know him, in my opinion, more than 99% of Shia did. That's how much this guy got into Ali alayhi salam's life.
Exactly.
And you tell me it did not affect him, I wouldn't believe that. There's once there was this radio show, if we have time.
Okay.
And there's this radio show, and it's a Lebanese lady. She's a Christian. So she does talks and stuff, and she always constantly mentions Ahl Bayt alayhim salam. A few times she came to Karbala, and so she became famous among the Shia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one day a Shia called her, right? He says to her, you know what? I want to preach to you. You love the Ahl Bayt. You always talk about that. Why don't you become a Shia? And she, like, with a poker face, she said to him, what does Sermon 47 of Najib Balagha says? What is it about? And the guy just went silent. He's like, you're Shia, right?
Yes.
Tell me what Najib Balagha says. Sermon 47. Let's see. Let's see what, you know, you fellow Ali, you should know his words. You should know his sermons. The guy couldn't say anything. And then she read the sermon to him by heart.
Nice.
She's like, I know Ahl Bayt more than you. I know Ali more than you. Don't talk to me. Don't preach to me about Ali.
Yes.
go somewhere else.
True.
Yeah. But then this lady became a Shia.
This lady?
Yeah. Because you just can't. You simply can't.
Yeah. And that is the case with every one of the imams. It's not only limited to Imam Ali,
no,
I guess,
all
right?
Of
but
all
what
Nur al Mahad, we say. Their light is one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you very much for listening to the program Back to Reality on IRIB English Radio. We were talking about Imam Ali. Thank you for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio.